the book of 1 John today. 1 John. This will be the third Sunday on this chapter. And trust that God will help us as we, I'd like to try to wind it up today and trust that the Lord will touch our hearts. I'm glad that we have a God that's concerned enough about us to give us instructions in His Word how we ought to do. God so loved the world.
Amen. What a God we have.
First John chapter 3. Beginning at verse 1 again. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man, that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Amen. You may be seated. I'm so thankful for the Bible. Where would we be if it were not for the Bible? We have just about come in our modern time in 2005, and I remember when I first got saved as a boy, Leesburg, Virginia, back in the early 1950s, when people talked about year 2000, that seemed like an eternity ahead of us, and never thought or dreamed that any of us would live to see year 2000. We really, when I first got saved, everybody really believed that Jesus would come before the year 2000. But here we are, 2005, and yet the Bible is still relative to our time. I was last night and this morning as well. Matter of fact, I woke up several times during the night last night asking the Lord to help us with this subject matter this morning, and come to the realization that people think that God is a mean, harsh, hateful God. But he's really not. When you know God, when you get to know God, he's not mean nor harsh. He hates sin, but he loves a sinner. Amen. God so loved the world. And I don't know of anybody in this congregation this morning that would be willing to give your child, daughter or son, up to be slaughtered and mistreated as Jesus Christ was, that somebody else could go free. I doubt that anybody here would be willing to do that. But God did. God so loved the world. And the reason God loves the world is because he made it. It's his. Sin came into the world because of Lucifer, that ugly, nasty name that we call Satan or the devil. Sin came into the world in the Garden of Eden, and it's been sin ever since. But God so loved the world that he made a plan of redemption. The book of Revelation tells us that Christ, the Lamb of God, was slain before the foundation of the world was ever laid. In the mind and the providence of God's eternal blueprint, Christ was planned to be slain before the foundation of the world was ever laid, that everybody could be saved if they wanted to be saved. I'd say this morning, if people are not saved, it's because, simply because they don't want to be. Amen. They just don't want to be. But if you want to be saved, God has made a plan of redemption that you can be saved. Amen. I was talking to somebody this week, and then I was pondering about it last night. They made reference to the fact that the Bible seems so harsh on sin, and it is. It is. God hates sin. When Jesus, after Jesus was tempted 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, he came back from that temptation of the devil and victorious and with victory over the devil, might I say. And the Bible said he came preaching repentance, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, to some people, that word repent or repentance is a nasty, mean, ugly word. But it's really not. It's really not. It's a very, the truth of the matter is, it's a very compassionate word. God is not willing that any should perish. That's what the book said. God is not willing that any should perish. Huh? Amen. The Bible said God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the whole purpose of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that men come to repentance. Because if they don't repent, they'll die and go to hell. And God does not want anybody to die lost. If they die lost, it'll be their own choosing. God has so divinely, in his plan of redemption, made it so easy that if we just accept Jesus Christ as Savior, we can be saved. The word repent or repentance just simply means one thing. When you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ and surrender your everything to him, repent or repentance just simply means changing directions. That's all. Amen. Repent. Quit doing it. Quit going that way. You've made a change. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. I'm not telling you anything that you haven't heard before. But the Apostle Paul said, I'm telling you again as I have told you before. So we need to be reminded at times, amen, the truth of the gospel is God does not want anybody lost. There are a lot of people that backslide. Come on here. But that's not God's choice. A lot of people go away from God and from everything that's good and wholesome and right, but that's not God's choice. Amen. It's because that they have chosen the wrong road in life, and as a result, they'll die lost unless they come back to the cross. Amen. But I want us to look at these verses again this morning and trust that God will help us as we look in His Word. Amen. I've talked to you about sin for two Sundays. This is the third Sunday. This is part three. And I trust that God will help us this morning. I've talked to you about the way that sin begins. Amen. In the world as well as in the human race, where it started. I talked to you about the way sin causes people to act and why they act the way they do, why they do the things they do. Amen. I talked to you about the way sin affects individuals' lives. Amen. How it hardens them against God, and how they stand guilty before God in the whole world. Amen. Sin leaves people separated from God. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2, amen, said, "But your sins have separated between you and your God, and therefore He cannot hear." I've talked to you about, amen, sin leaves people condemned before God. Amen. John chapter 3 and verse 18, "He that believeth not is condemned already." It's not that Jesus came to condemn you of your sin. You're already condemned. The Bible said in the Old Testament that sin is a reproach to any people. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Amen. And because of the sin that's in the heart, amen, they stand before God condemned, amen, to die the death of the lost. And it's not God's choosing. They don't have to die lost. They don't have to die separated from the Lord. God's made provisions. I talked to you about the way sin affects God. Amen. Sin provokes God to jealousy. Amen. Sin provokes God to anger. Amen. Old Testament, numbers of times it said, "They provoke me to anger." Amen. Sin provokes God to wrath. John 3 and 36, "The wrath of God abideth on them that believe not." Amen. So we want to take up today, amen, for just a little while, on the way sin is punished. I think we might have just, in passing last Sunday morning, touched on this just a little bit, but I want the Lord to help us this morning. Amen. Sin is a killer. Sin is a robber. Amen. Amen. "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning." Amen. "And for this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that He might destroy the works of the devil." Amen. Sin is punished in the wicked, in that sin is discovered in their life. The Bible said in Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23, amen, "Be sure your sins will find you out." Amen. There are so many people in our modern time that feels like that their sin is going to be covered and they'll never be discovered. But you see, God will not allow that to go on but so long. It will for a while. And the devil will deceive people into thinking, amen, that nobody will find out. But they will. They will. God's destined, amen, that the sin of the sinner will be discovered. Amen. The Bible said, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But he that confesseth," and then does what? "He that confesseth and what? And forsaketh his sin shall abundantly have mercy and pardon." Thank God. Amen. There's a remedy. Amen. There is an out. There's a way of escape. Amen. Hallelujah. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's perfect choice. Amen. Be sure your sins will find you out. Amen. I was talking to an individual. It's been many months ago now, and they confided in me about some things that they were involved in and doing. Amen. And they said, don't tell anybody. I said, I won't, but you can rest assured God will not allow that to go on but so long, and God will pull the cover off. I believe it's Isaiah, best I remember. Amen. Talked about the cover being too short for the bed. Amen. We was raised in when we were children, we didn't have a whole lot of life's goods. I mean, things were difficult when I was a child, much more so than they are now. We are probably living in the most prosperous generation that has ever existed in America. But when some of you older folks, you can remember as a child, nowadays, I mean, I love cover that goes over the side of the bed and down and goes from the head all the way over the end of the bed and down almost to the floor. I like that kind of cover. Come on here. But when we were children, we didn't have quilts. Most of our, I say most, all of our quilts when we were children were handmade, homemade. Mama made I don't know how many quilts through the years. Matter of fact, some of you folks may have some quilts that Mama made. I know Brother Mac and Sister Ella Mae Pullen have some that Mama made. But, you know, they used scrapped material, really, and they sewed pieces of material together, and then they would do what they call tack it. Come on here. Amen. They run thread through it, and there were so about every 6 inches, 4 inches or 6 inches apart, there'd be a thread come up through the top of the quilt where the scraps are together, and they call that tacking it. But the problem with those quilts was they just barely reached the edge of the bed in any direction. And I mean, if it was cold, as it would get in those years, it seemed like to me it doesn't get as cold anymore as it used to. But when it'd get cold, me and my brother slept in the same bed together, and it was just a much smaller beds than what they got nowadays. I mean, if Owen pulled the cover, woo, you woke up cold. It didn't take long to wake up. Amen. And all of a sudden you found your flesh, amen, was uncovered and exposed to the cold. Well, I want to tell you, that's the way God is about sin. Sin, he will allow it to go on for a while. Amen. You're okay, you think. But after a while, some point in time, God's going to see to it that the cover is pulled off of that sin, and the flesh is going to be exposed for what it is. Amen. But you see, there's a reason for that. God does not do that because he's a mean God. Come on here. I said, God does not do that because he's ugly and hateful and doesn't love you. Amen. He exposes sin that you may see where you are and how shortcoming you are and that you need God. Amen. Your sin has brought you low. Your sin has been exposed. And now, amen, you come to the realization, amen, if I'm going to get into heaven, I've got to have God. You cannot pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and by your own willpower and deciding to turn over a new leaf, because that seed of sin that's in your heart, amen, at some point in time is going to carry you right back to that mud hole and that hog pen and that slop bucket. Amen. It takes God's grace. It takes God's mercy. It takes God's love to pick you up out of the horrible pit. Amen. That the psalmist David talked about. He lifted me up also up out of a horrible pit. Praise God. Amen. You can't do that by yourself. That takes God. I said that takes God. Amen. Hallelujah. And when God does a work of grace in your heart and your life, He takes you out of the hog pen, out of the horrible pit. Amen. Cleans you up, separates you, sanctifies you, and sets you on the highway of holiness going toward the glory world. Amen. But only God can do that. You turn it over, a new leaf will never accomplish it. Amen. You may do better for a while, but that seed of sin that's in there, amen, will draw you right back to the horrible pit. Amen. Sin will be reaped in the same nature in which it is sown in Galatians chapter 6 and verses 7 and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Huh? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If we sow to the flesh, we shall of the flesh do what? Reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, we shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Amen. Amen. So God has designed it to where you sow the seed. If you sow corn, you're going to reap corn. You sow wheat, you're going to reap wheat. That's the process of nature. That's the way God set things in order. Amen. I know some people sow wild oats and hope they're going to have a peach tree growing. But it don't work like that. Amen. If you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. Amen. That's what the Bible said. And God said, do not be deceived. Don't let anybody tell you, amen, that it's any different than what God's book said. God's word is right. Don't be deceived by the smooth talkers of our time. Amen. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. Sin is punished by tormenting in hell to those who completely reject Jesus Christ as their Savior. Brother Savage, you mean God is going to send me to hell? Well, there's two things in that statement I want to. You have chose by your conduct and behavior and actions in choosing to go to hell. Come on here. That's your choice. You do not have to. No, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But if you don't repent, what's the alternative? If there's no confession of sin, what's the alternative? Amen. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Amen. And don't you ever think for one minute that God is not a just God by allowing people to go to hell. He would be most unjust if he allowed sin and sinners to go to heaven without repentance. Hello. Man. Bible said in Luke chapter 16, verse 23, concerning the rich man and Lazarus. Verse 23 said, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Being in torments. Seest Lazarus afar off in Abraham's bosom. Prayed, cried, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And God said, and I'm paraphrasing, amen, if you want to turn over and read it, that's fine. I'm paraphrasing. But God said, Abraham said to the rich man, amen, those that would come from here to you cannot, and those that would come from thence to here cannot, because there is a great gulf between us. Can't get out. It's eternal. Come on here. Read the book of Revelation. The Bible tells in the book of Revelation, and the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. I had many, many years ago, and I'm not going to tell you who it was, because a lot of you would know. Amen. And he's already deceased and gone to glory now. Amen. And God will deal with this situation there. That I didn't got no nothing to do with that. God's takes care of that. This preacher told me, and he's a friend of mine, been a friend for many years. He told me one time, said, Brother Savage, don't you think that when people get in hell and they'll gradually get better and better and better? I said, no. Huh? The Bible said, and the smoke of their torment sent it up forever and ever. Amen. People that die and go to hell, lost without Jesus Christ and never repented of their sin, is not going to get better and better and better. Amen. Somebody said, well, once a person gets so much discipline, they just naturally get better. That's not true. Look at the serial killers and the rapists and the pedophiles, amen, that's been in prison. And they get out, and 2 weeks later, amen, they do the same thing over again. Come on here. Amen. A discipline does not cure the problem. Amen. If you die lost, Ecclesiastes said, amen, whatsoever the way the tree falleth, so shall it lie. It's not going to get up again. Amen. And if you're lost and away from God and a sinner, when you die, you're going to hell and you stay there for time and eternity. But you don't have to. I said, you don't have to. Praise God. There's a way to get rid of sin. Hallelujah. You hear me? There is a way to get rid of sin. You mean, Brother Savage? Amen. There is a better way? Yes, there is. Amen. Number one, the Bible tells us that you cannot better yourself. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 9, who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure of my sin. Nobody can say that. You cannot make yourself better. You cannot do yourself enough justice to cleanse your own way. It takes the hand of God to save you and pick you up and make you better. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary to take away sin. I said, that's the reason he came into the world. Amen. To die on the cross of Calvary to redeem them that are lost. In 1 John. Amen. Rick, in 1 John, turn over there. And if you all want to turn over there, you can. 1 John chapter 1. Just a couple of pages back from where, amen, our text this morning is. Amen. I want you to start reading with verse 1, because there's so many things in this first chapter. This, you see, we're going to be talking to you now about the remedy for sin. You don't have to die lost. Right. If you die lost, it'll be your own choice.
Right.
Amen. God's made a way of provision.
Right.
Somebody said, Brother Savage, so what? What if I've been a Christian and I've made a terrible mistake? Amen. And I wished I hadn't. Amen. Can I fix it? Yes, you can. You must fix it. You've got to fix it if you intend to go to heaven when you die.
Right.
Repent of it.
Right.
Huh? Repent of it. Fix it. Praise God. All right. Amen. verse 1 of chapter 1 of 1 John. Amen. The coming of Christ into this world, amen, makes it possible that we can have fellowship with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Read that.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life.
Amen. Hallelujah. Now he's talking about Christ, the glorious and wonderful person of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Matter of fact, when you get down to verses 3 and 4, he really emphasizes the fact that Jesus came. Amen. In John, Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. Praise God. Amen. 1 John, and it's the same writer, Gospel of John. Amen. Chapter 1, verse 14, is the same writer of 1 John. Amen. Chapter 1. Amen. Same man writing both. And he said, we looked at him. We saw him. We heard him. We handled him. Amen. It was the Word of God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. That's Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. Right. Amen. Verse 2.
For the life was manifested, and we have seen it,
and bear witness. Yeah.
And show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ.
Now, I want to say right here, fellowship is a wonderful thing. One fellow gave the definition years ago, and I've used it several times. Fellowship is not a battleship. Fellowship is two fellows going in a ship going in the same direction. Amen. Well, I know there's a lot of people that they're in the same boat, but one's trying to go one way and one the other. And it's a lost cause. It won't work. Amen. But to have fellowship. Now, we cannot have the kind of fellowship that we ought to have with one another until we have real fellowship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. I've got a lot of friends in this world. Really, really I do. I'm friends with a lot of people. I got a lot of friends. And some of them have been friends almost all my life, all their life. Amen. Friends. Though they're not saved, I'm still friends. Huh? Are y'all still with me? Amen. I've got friends that has chosen to go the worldly route in the church, and even in their ministry, they've gone the worldly route. I'm still friends with them, but don't have much fellowship. And sometimes they call me, and they talk to me. Come on here. Amen. Are y'all still with me? We're friends. I don't care. I never have understood the mentality of people. Amen. That just because that was a sinner, you had to stand off, keep arm's length. Amen. That is unscriptural. Amen. Amen. Jesus, the Bible said he was accused as being a friend of sinners. Come on here. Amen. I was preaching a camp meeting somewhere, as Joey Height would say, in the United States of America a few years ago, and one of the head men of that particular group even came to me one day, and he said, Brother Savage, I'd just like to tell you that so-and-so's been coming to this meeting, and if you have much to do with him, it's going to hurt your influence. Hello. I lost you right there. I said, my dear sir, I'm a guest of this camp meeting. But if there was a sot drunk that came on this campground and I knew him and I was his friend, I would go up and put my arm around him. Come on here. And tell him I was glad to see him Amen. At God's house.
Amen.
And to do otherwise is totally unchristian.
Amen.
Boy, am I doing all right here now? Amen. So Christ was made sin for us. Amen. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That we no longer have to be a sinner. We're saved by grace. Amen. And if we ever get so self-righteous, come on here, so self-righteous in our mentality of thinking, I'm holiness, bless God. I can't associate with them. Amen. I'll walk on the other side of the street. That's the way the Pharisees did. Wow. That does not mean I have to condone what they're doing or the way they're living. Come on here. That doesn't mean I have to condone their lifestyle or what they're involved in. Come on here. I'm not going to make excuses for what they've done or how they're living, but I'm still going to be their friend because the day will come they're going to need somebody. Hello, some of you right there. Amen. Amen. I said amen. Could we not? Can we not have the ministry, amen, in our life and our hearts as Christians to show the way of salvation, that this is the best life to live? Hallelujah. Praise God. And to, now, hey, we can have friends with anybody. Yeah. We ought to have friends of the world. Sinners out there. Amen. You don't have to be so righteous you stick your nose in the air and say, I'm holiness. I really doubt that. But to have fellowship is a whole different train of thought. To have fellowship means we have things in common. We have the same interest. Come on here. We go into the same heaven. Fellowship. Amen. We are bone of his bone. We are flesh of his flesh. Amen. We are members of his body. Praise God. Are y'all still with me? Ah, man, man. This is getting bigger and bigger. It may take me another Sunday to finish this. Praise God. But I want to tell you. Amen. And it really doesn't matter whether we talk about the body of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, huh? Are y'all still here? His body, his church, sonship, we are sons of God. There are so many different terminologies, amen, that the Bible speaks to us about our relationship with God. But just because there are different terminologies does not mean that every one of those is a separate entity in the body of Christ. If you're saved, come on here. If you're saved, I'm talking about really saved, you're going to heaven when you die. Huh? I've met people that have said, amen, you can be in the... You can be in the church and not be of the bride. Well, I wonder what book they've been reading. Whether it's the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, the church, the Son of God, amen, it's just an expression of our relationship with God. It is giving us, come on here, y'all stay with me. Amen. Let me just say right here. The Bible said in a few verses down here, we're going to read in a minute. Amen. God is light. Amen. And then the Bible says God is love. And God is good. Amen. And God is the Spirit. God is the consuming fire. God is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. God, Jesus Christ is the door to the sheepfold. Does that mean that, amen, they are entirely all of those terminologies different people? No. Amen. Amen. It is an expression to where we can understand a relationship that Jesus Christ is the way, He's the truth, He's the light. He is love, He is good, He is consuming fire. Amen. That is an expression that we can relate to and understand. And to say, I'm getting excited here. Amen. To say that amen, we are His body. Amen. Or His church. Or His bride. Amen. Or His son. Amen. Does not mean that you're in this group and you're in this group and you're in this group and you're in this group. It is all a terminology of expression. Amen. Of our relationship with God. Hallelujah. I lost some of you here. But I want to tell you, amen, what we do when we do that, we divide, amen, the body of Christ into schisms and isms and divisions, amen, because you're part of this group and I can't fellowship with you because I'm in this group. Amen. Hogwash. We are all members of the body of Christ. We are bone of His bone. We are flesh of His flesh. If you're saved by grace, amen, thank God, amen, we have a wonderful relationship with God, and we have fellowship one with another. We are going to the same heaven. We're going and we're serving the same Christ. Come on here. Amen. We have the same spirit. Amen. And so we have a kindred relationship together because, amen, we are brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. Do you get a hold of that? If you got a problem with that, come see me at service. Huh? Amen. We are bone of His bone. We have things in common. Amen. Though a sinner out here, I'm a friend of. And there may be a few isolated things that we have in common. But really, as far as fellowship, they're going to a different place I'm going to. Hallelujah. But you talk about fellowship. We can have fellowship together. Because we are brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Silas is my brother in the Lord. Sister Margaret. Yeah, man, let me think about this a minute. Sister Margaret is my sister. Oh, God, help the savage family here. Really? She's the one who told me years ago, first time I ever met her, she said, "Look like you've been beat with an ugly stick." And that's my sister. Of course, my son, Ricky, Big Ricky, chimed in and said, "No, it's a whole tree." But, you know, we have fellowship. You are my brother and my sister. There is a relationship between us as children of God that I don't have with the sinner. Huh? There's a man out there somewhere. I guess he's somewhere out there. His name's John Doe. He's a sinner. I can't call him Brother John. Because we're not in the same family. We have nothing in common. Our fathers are different. Jesus talked to those, amen, wicked people in His day, and He said, "You are of your father, the devil." Amen. We don't have anything in common, Mr. John Doe. Amen. We're not in the same family. You've got a different daddy than I got. Amen. So we have nothing as far as kinship is concerned. But in the body of Christ, amen, we are together. Amen. I said we are together. Hallelujah. Amen. And when Chip hurts, I hurt. Because he's my brother. Amen. Holy Chippy. Amen. Used to be hippy-chippy. Amen. Ah, but we have the same Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Are y'all still with me? Our Father is Jesus Christ. Amen. Our elder brother and his Father is God the Father. We have the same Father. Amen. What about the mother, Brother Savage? The church is the mother. Praise God. And we are born into a new family. Amen. And we are brothers and sisters, and we can relate, and we can sing about heaven, and we can sing about the grace of God, and we can sing about, amen, the glories of being redeemed. Praise God. And we understand, we relate to it because we have fellowship with each other. Man, 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 man. Read on. Verse 4.
And these things write we unto you.
Message. Which we have heard of him. We got it from him. And we're telling you that God is light, and in him is no darkness. That's the message Christ came to deliver, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. None. Amen. Amen. Come on here. All right. Read next verse.
If we say we have fellowship with him,
uh-huh,
and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth.
Wow. That's pretty strong. Matter of fact, all of the epistle of 1 John, amen, is pretty strong terms that the great apostle of love uses. Amen. Amen. He said, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. I want to tell you, don't listen to this bunch of garbage, amen, of this modern day, that you can live any kind of way you want to and still die and go to heaven when you leave out of here. Amen. If John is right, and he is, amen, amen, you can say you have fellowship with God, but if you walk in darkness, you don't have fellowship with God. The Bible is absolute. It is the truth. Let God be the truth and every man be a liar. If God is right, amen, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, that's pretty powerful, strong stuff. Man, Brother Savage, you mean to tell me that there are people that are saying they're saved and cuss and drink and smoke and do all the things, amen, of dark world and sin, that they're going to die lost and go to, well, if we say. But they say they're a Christian. Now, I can tell you today, I can tell you that when you look up in the sky tonight when it gets dark and you see all the constellations of the universe, if it's not a cloudy night, you see the Milky Way and the stars and the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper and the North Star and the, amen, the Morning Star and all the constellations of the universe that's out there, and you see that big moon that comes up, amen, that yellow, orange-colored moon, amen, and I can say to you, amen, Doug, that moon is made out of cheese. And when you see those dark spots, that's holes in the cheese and rats run in and out of them. Now, I got a question. I can tell Doug that, and I can say that to him, but does that make it so? Huh? Just because I said so? Does that make it so? If we say we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie. Now, I've read science books. Believe it or not, I did go to school one time. A few days. One fellow said he went to school, went in the front door and out the back. I did go to school. I've read some material about the constellations and the universe and all this stuff. And a lot of it I've forgotten through the years. But we were taught in school. And this is the only thing we can really determine, that the moon gets its light from the sun, and it only mirrors or reflects light from the sun. So when you look at the moon tonight, you see it shining. It is not its own light. It is only a reflection of the light from the sun. If that be true, then the moon is not made out of cheese. I can say, I can cuss and drink a little and smoke and raise the devil, but I'm going to heaven when I die. Does that make it so? There is a textbook that is absolute. Amen. We are living in a generation now in American culture that does not want any absolutes. They want to do whatever they want to do and still be accepted in society as their way of life. But I want to tell you, the Bible's right. Let every man be a liar, and let God be the truth. The Bible is right. And when John said, if we say we have fellowship with God, amen, and walk in darkness, we do lie. And the truth is not in us. Amen. Now, amen, read the next verse.
But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another.
Hallelujah.
And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son,
glory,
cleanses us from all sin.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. John said, this is the message which we have heard of him and declaring to you. We've heard it from God. We're telling it to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God, as the source of wisdom and knowledge and holiness and truth, cannot have the least degree of ignorance or imperfection or sinfulness or darkness. Amen. God is to man is what the sun is to our world. Amen. And I want to tell you, the importance of the message of salvation is just as important to us as the sun is to this world. Amen. The message of the gospel is there's a better way to live. There is a remedy for the sin problem. Amen. Amen. The remedy is if we confess. Come on here. If we walk in the light, woo, I'm feeling better. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all what? Sin. We are cleansed from our sin from the time that we confess our sin as long as we walk in the light. Amen. Help me here. As long as we walk in the light. Amen. If we will confess our sin and walk in the light. Amen. Amen. God will do four things. Amen. Number one, God will be faithful to us. Number two, amen, he'll be just to us. Number three, he will forgive us of our sins. And number four, he'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Verse 8, Ricky.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
If you're a sinner and you say you have no sin,
If you're doing the things of the world and you're committing sin that belongs in the world, amen, and if you've never been saved or if you claim to be saved, amen, and you're still sinning, amen, the Bible said, amen, he that committeth sin is of the devil, amen. Are y'all still here? If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us, but... Verse 9.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Hallelujah. Thank God we have a remedy for the sin problem. Jesus Christ said, if you'll confess it, I'll forgive it. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody say amen. Ah. Somebody said, Brother Savage, getting saved is such a big deal. It's not if you make a surrendered life. It's not hard to get saved. Confess your sin. If we confess our sins, that's what God's waiting on. If we confess our sin, what will he do? If we confess our sin, he is what? He is faithful and just to what? To forgive us of our sin and to what? And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. That simplicity tells us that if we'll do our part, God will certainly do his. Then we have to mean business with God. Amen. Why don't you go read on, Ricky? Right on down into verse chapter 2, verse 1.
If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
Now let me say this point. We get in that next verse there. Amen. You cannot be saved from sin until you come to the realization you are a sinner and need God. I've met a lot of people that's wicked and vile and wicked and wicked, wicked and vile. And they will not acknowledge that they are a lost sinner. And they'll never be saved. They will never be saved as long as they think that. But when they come to the realization, I'm a lost sinner, I need God. I'm tired of my life. Amen. There's provisions made. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My little children,
these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Hallelujah. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We do not sin if we walk in the light, according to verse 7 of chapter 1. If we walk in the light, we don't sin. But if one does fall into sin, he still has hope. All's not lost. He can confess sin and be cleansed again. And in closing, let's go back to chapter 3. Chapter 3. A verse of Scripture, verses 9, that has been misused and abused many times through the years by sometimes even preachers. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. Amen. Why don't we all read that together? You got your Bible there? You got it open to 1 John chapter 3? Amen. If you need your glasses, put your glasses on. Go ahead, put your glasses on, Doug. Amen. Praise God. Verse 9, 1 John chapter 3. Everybody, let's read it together. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed cannot sin because born of God. I want to tell you. Somebody said, Brother Savage, I don't understand that. People get saved and then they, what we call backslide and commit sin again. The secret to that is the second phrase in that verse. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of. What is the secret there? I don't understand that, Brother. All right, let me tell you like this. Jesus gave us the parable, and I'm going to close and we're going to come pray when I get through with this. Jesus gave us the parable of the seed, the sower that went forth to sow. And Jesus said, the seed is the word of God. Huh? You remember that parable? The seed is the word of God. Now, as long as you live your life in harmony with the word of God that's in your heart, you are not going to commit sin. It's that simple. You've got a new nature. Let him that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Amen. And there are many, many verses of Scripture. The seed is the word of God. And that's the reason David said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. That's the secret of living a victorious life over sin, the flesh, and the world. It's get this word in your heart. Get it down inside of you, and then live in harmony with what you know is right. It's impossible. It's impossible to die lost and go to hell or even to sin if you do that and live that way. I can get out here on 729. Amen. 729 goes from Flint Hill to Culpeper. If I think I'm right. As far as I know, that's where it starts on either end and ends there. Starts and ends. One end of it is Flint Hill. The other end is Culpeper. So I get on 729. I'm going north on 729. Amen. Now, I'm wanting to go to Flint Hill. So what do? I get on the right road, going in the right direction. Now, as long as I'm going in that direction, it's impossible for me to go to Culpeper. Huh? As long as I stay on that road, going in that direction, I can't go to Culpeper on 729 going that way in that direction. That don't take a college professor to figure that out. Amen. I mean, just any old dummy. That's reason it's so easy for me. I mean, just get on 729, go north on 729, and you're going to go to Flint Hill. You will not go to Culpeper going that way. And that's exactly what, amen, John, amen, the beloved disciple was telling us. If you get this word of God in your heart and you live according to the principles and in harmony with that word that's in your heart, the seed is the word of God. And his seed remaineth in him. He can't go to hell, amen, by serving God. Now, if you turn around on that road, If you turn around, your choice. Your choice. You can turn around anywhere. You can turn around right in the middle of the road if you want to. Kind of dangerous. Somebody liable to run over you. Amen. You can turn around and go in the opposite direction and go to Culpeper. It's your choice. You're in the driver's seat right now. Amen. You have a choice to make. But as long as I stay on that northbound 729, I'm going to Flint Hill. And so it is with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You hide that word in your heart and you live by it. You live by its principles. You live in harmony with its teachings. Amen. And when you die and leave out of this world, you go into that celestial place that's called heaven. Father, we thank you this morning for your precious word. Thankful, God, because we have an escape. We have an avenue that Jesus Christ has made for us. And we don't have to die lost. And if we just confess our sin, you are faithful and you are just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, that's what you said. Lord, we believe you this morning that you'll do just exactly that. If we just confess, you'll forgive. And I pray, Lord, that you'll walk the aisles of this sanctuary today and touch our hearts, touch our lives. If there's one soul in this congregation that's without Christ, I pray, Lord, that the Holy Ghost will deal with them by convicting their life and your divine mercy to reach out and save. For Jesus' sake, I pray. Amen. Amen. I think this morning we ought to stand. I pray this morning that you'll find a hope in Christ. Your soul is the most valuable possession that you have in life. Your soul, nobody can take that from you unless you willingly surrender it. The devil can't take your soul unless you give it to him. But if you will, you can surrender it to Jesus Christ and he can change your life. He'll make you a new creature and you'll find a hope. God is not willing that any should perish. God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. That's not God's will. You may perish, but it's not God's will. You may die lost, but it's not God's will. But that all should come to repentance. While every head is bowed and every eye's closed this morning, I wonder if I feel like there's about three precious souls in this service this morning that you're not ready to meet God. You're really not. And you know in your heart you're not. I wonder if you just slip your hand up there where you are. And I'll know by that uplifted hand you want the prayers of this preacher. You want to be saved. Amen. God bless you. Is there another? We're just going to tarry a moment. How about it? You ready? Are you ready?
You need to make a change. You need to change your life. Is there another in this congregation this morning? Raise your hand, Brother Savage. Pray for me. I really don't want to die lost. I really don't. Amen. I need God's help. Most difficult step in your life is to just make that first step. But if you'll take one step, He'll take two. Is there one more in this congregation that'll raise your hand? Preacher, pray for me. Oh God. I'm reaching. I'd like to throw a lifeline to you this morning. Jesus wants to save. He's not willing that any should perish. Is there one more before we come and pray? 30 seconds, we're going to come pray. Amen. How about it this morning? Amen. Is there one more? Oh God, 20 seconds. Time swiftly passing by. God wants to save. 10 more seconds. Is there one soul in this place? One more soul. And slip your hand up. Preacher, pray for me. Oh God, by your mercy, by your grace, let's come pray. Amen. Let's come pray.
Gazing on the ashes of ruin, the colors tainted by sin, with the paintbrush of mercy the artist begins a masterpiece painted with the blood of the Lamb. Start over again. There's a new day just begin. Closing the door on the past. There's a window in the room. Let the sunlight dispel the gloom. It's not too late to start over again. Gazing on ashes of failure, construction of ambition destroyed. With a hammer of mercy, the builder begins. With a nail print in the palm of his hand. Start over again. There's a new day just began. Closing the door on the past. There's a window in the room. Let the sunlight dispel the gloom. It's not too late to start over again. Start over again. door on the past. There's a window in the room. Let the sunlight dispel the gloom. It's not too late to start over again. Gazing on the ashes of failure, construction of ambition destroyed. With the hammer of mercy, the builder begins. With the nail prints in the palm of his hand. Start over again. There's a new day just began. Closing the door on the path. There's a window in the room. Let the sunlight dispel the gloom. It's not too late to start over again.
Praise the Lord.